You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
There you go!
Bro, this is from my NES days, okay? I used to play...
That's that Chinatown Fair Twitch response, bro.
Okay, I used to play a couple games I needed to like... So there was a game called Pro Wrestling, remember on Nintendo?
I don't.
And on regular NES, it was...
So you were the controller on your lap.
So...
Or were you the thumb? Were you a thumber?
No, controller on the lap. But there was a... So one of my brother's friends, Justin, not the one in the chat, but childhood friends, grew up with him. He went to... My brother's older than me. So every time I would play video games, I'd be playing with kids 8 years older than me.
Right.
So this dude was... So remember when Nintendo first came out with the turbo, like the turbo button in like there were certain accessories, certain controllers that you could buy that you would just turn on a switch and it'd be turbo and it'd be turbo for like the A button or something like that. So meaning that if you held the A button,
it would do it for you.
It would rapidly just hit the thing automatically. Justin was faster than the turbo button.
Right.
So I would watch him and be like, bro, I can't beat you in any game because you are just literally faster than the damn computer.
I feel so bad for this man's peace when he became a teenager.
Right, right. A lot of damage was done.
Yeah, yeah. Even the thing is like, just get a different... his homie down there is just like, you need to chill, bro.
Ben Skolnick said, funny how fast fingers come up and Christian goes right to video games. Yeah, hey. Buddy, I've never kissed a girl, all right?
Yeah.
This is all the expertise I have.
Also, can we be honest? Based on that... Don't you feel good? There's a lot of women out there who are like, thank God I did not connect with this man because I would have been destroyed.
No, bro. That's why they stick around, bro.
Bro, can you lift your sleeve? Does it say Hitachi on your forearm? My guy.
Okay. What's a good, everybody? Nick Rat said, what a detailed discussion of 1990s video game technology. This is what I came for.
Remember, we're a soccer show sometimes.
Look, this show covers a broad range of topics.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's how it is. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, everybody. Welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Fast fingers over there. My name is Alexis. A little more vibey fingers, Guerrero.
No, okay. That's why, you know, they gotta feel something, bro.
Ben Skolnick says you might have to explain Hitachi to him. I love how people listening to the audio don't know what happens because I usually like to start the show where we say hello and our name.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because you're a big fan of the intros and I want to give you what you want in this world.
Sure, a lot of people are.
You know? So sometimes we will reference what happened before, mm-hmm. and it's completely lost to them. So if you're listening right now, maybe catch the show live on YouTube. Huh?
Okay. So look, you get to see some of the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Gavincho says, happy victorious Monday, victory Monday. And now he just said hungover on a Monday because Kevin, is from Kansas City. And I don't know.
Oh, my fucking God.
Is what he yelled. probably as the field goal was missed, but also as Kansas City Chiefs reign supreme
again
in NFL. Once again, 2 out of 3 years, if I'm not mistaken.
2 out of 4 years, I believe.
2 out of 4 years because they lost one.
They lost one, yeah.
Yeah. The interviews with Pat Mahomes were great. The owner of Kansas City Current probably at that moment did not know he was the owner of Kansas City Current. Did you see?
Who? What are you talking about?
Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was obviously came into the game injured, a high ankle sprain, right?
Yes. Which well, he also owned, well, he, I think he's on the paperwork for Sporting Kansas City. He's an owner.
Right. He's an owner of both.
But his wife is like the main owner of Kansas City Current.
So he also became an investor in that as well.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, look, they're all, it's all the same from one pocket to another.
Whatever. It's Kansas City. You own one thing, you own them all. Get a, here's a couple ribs. All right. So that he came into the game with a high ankle sprain, an injury you and I will most likely never have, right? we're not in the athletics that
What's
way.
A high? I've had ankle sprains. What makes it a high
it's
ankle
a
sprain?
Higher.
A little bit higher.
A little bit higher. So he came into the game. People were like, can he even walk? And then he shows up and he's fine, gets tackled, gets injured. Halftime comes, comes back from halftime. Dude's like, what's up, everybody? My guy was floating.
He was healed, bro. I mean, he got some of the...
Is that recording by any chance?
It is recording, yes.
Okay, because I don't see the dot.
I see it right. You see it? ISO okay. Record. Anyway.
Perfect.
The joke I was going to make was that, Pat Mahomes got some of the stem cells from Rihanna's baby.
Jesus.
And healed his ankle.
Bro. he was on the button, you know, the doctors that give you the button so you don't feel pain.
Okay.
He was on it. Go ahead, do it. Homie was hitting that button. Fast fingers, bro. I gotta be honest, every time you do it, I'm even more impressed. It is really good. You would have absolutely destroyed some teenagers.
Bro.
Thank God you was a virgin.
I'm
bro.
Breaking out of every leg lock. Yeah. Leg lock.
Oh my God. You know, actually, I got this pinched nerve. You might want to get up in there, bro, on my shoulder, my G. You might be able to solve it.
All right. Okay, so I wanted to mention this because there's like obviously a bunch of Philly fans in the chat. Saying stop, we don't need to talk about this game.
Bro. Three in a row, bro. y'all lose three.
But we
in
gotta
a row.
Talk about this because Philadelphia is taking massive L's.
Just sent a picture in the middle. If you don't see it, what player is this for Philadelphia Union?
This is Kai Wagner.
He has his hands on his forehead. But the only expression, the only way I can explain this expression is ay Dios mío. Isn't that true?
He is, yes. He is look, he's had enough. This is when Gareth Bale scored the goal. You know what I mean?
He
cannot believe it. But Philadelphia has lost three championships in 99 days.
That's crazy.
Three finals. They lost in the finals of their respective sports. They lost in the World Series. The Phillies lost to the Astros. The Union lost to LAFC and the MLS Cup final, which happened on the same day.
Right.
One afternoon and one evening of just...
That's just a bad day.
That's a bad Philadelphia day.
That's a rough day for Philly.
And then the Eagles, after leading and Jalen Hurts' MVP performance.
Incredible.
Four touchdowns, right? Three of them, I believe he ran in. Just an unbelievable game. This man shows no emotion whatsoever.
No.
It's very strange.
Day at the office for him. He just shakes hands. Thank you. I'm glad I was able to score.
But it's good when, you know, he gave up the fumble for a touchdown. He was like, all right, whatever. Yeah. All good.
Part of the game.
Ended up, and you know, and then they end up leading a little bit later. But no.
Perk Mahomes went crazy. Says a nice cobra. Homie was hitting them Zans at halftime, bro.
So you got to feel for Philadelphia. But this is the thing that some people do not feel for Philadelphia.
I don't feel. Do you know what those fans did before the game started? They flipped over a car and danced on it.
Interesting.
And it wasn't like a police car, which is the thing most people flip over. It was like a Camry. You know what I mean? This is some Uber driver's like, it was right here. Oh, no. when it comes out the next morning.
I got to show this because FC Dallas also got involved. I don't know if you saw this.
Yes, because Hunt is the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Hunt family, yeah, of course.
Hunt family, La Familia Hunt.
And we've interviewed Dan Hunt, the owner of FC Dallas.
And we've spoken to this gentleman. It was very briefly at the Hall of Fame. The other Hunt brother, the one who is like more of
the Chiefs guy. It's Dan and who's the other?
Let's just call him Bob.
David? What's the other guy's name? I forgot his name. Anyway, but FC Dallas.
It's actually DeBrickashaw. DeBrickashaw
Hunt. Interesting. We know who is the black sheep in the family. but FC Dallas, which look. FC Dallas, they're homies. We've been there. Mm-hmm. They're showing us a lot of love, but they really went in on.
It's like Clark Hunt, by the way.
Clark, okay.
Great. So not the Brickashaw.
But FC Dallas tweeted this out, congratulating the Kansas City Chiefs. And it just says, congratulations to the Chiefs.
It's the second paragraph that really gets you.
Congratulations to the Chiefs on bringing home another title for Lamar. Obviously, Lamar Hunt, the legendary owner.
I have a feeling Lamar named a British.
and then the second line says, way to beat the worst city in America.
It was not necessary.
I mean, like,
no one asked for it.
Just spreading love. Giving Kansas City their flowers. And they're like, yo, I'm gonna bring flowers to Philly's funeral too, bro.
Can you give me more of a Tim Burton flower vibe? Because, bro, you didn't need to say this, FC Dallas. Philly Union ain't even like your rival.
You came in hot. It makes me feel like, yo, is this personal?
Have you been holding on to this, bro? Yo, I mean, admin, were you dumped by someone from Philly?
Dallas and Philadelphia are obviously in the NFC East. They're in the same division. So I can understand maybe that there's clearly some history. But worst city in America?
It was a little too hot for the moment.
I got like 12 other cities before I say Philadelphia.
Dude.
A nice quote, Bruce said, DeBrickashaw Ferguson was a stud tackle.
And Nick Red said, Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, named one of his kids DeBrickashaw. I hope that's true because I know DeBrickashaw Ferguson played for the Jets.
All right.
So I hope that's they, you know, that name inspired the famous Key and Peele sketch. Where the names
of
get,
course, yeah,
crazier and crazier.
Yeah, those are great, yeah. Robin Tugini said, wow, that is wildly unnecessary. What is going on with the admins? Well, there's something, something's happened the last, maybe since the Cooligans started.
I literally was about to say, this might be the Cooligans effect. And this is, look, a lot of times we give ourselves credit for stuff we don't deserve. This one, I think you already know, dog. Hit that with the eagle screams, bro. That's this one.
You can't
even hear it, dude. It's too good, bro.
I'm too quick with it.
Yo, my God. I love it. Bro, I think you broke our board, dude. I am so impressed by this. Jasper Probing Crux, the third.
From the third
is the first part. I want to say, if I remember correctly, the LA Galaxy made the shooting star meme about the player from the Timbers.
Yeah.
They were fined, and we leaned in so hard. And obviously, the rest of the internet followed suit.
Sure.
A lot of people were retweeting what we were saying and stuff. And at that time, it became like, oh, wait a minute. People want to see this?
Yeah.
And the league was like, everybody get funny. Okay. Now we have a FAM, funny allocation money. And it became a thing where like now you want to roast each other. And I think the NBA led the way. And we kept saying, like, we need to be more like the NBA. These teams are kind of messing with each other a little bit. It adds another layer. Twitter, most leagues have found their footing, whether it's in TikTok or in Instagram. And I think Twitter is still where the NBA kind of lives, because that banter back and forth, whether it's the fans arguing about who's really the GOAT or, you know, about players, analytics and points and stuff and stats. But it's also the teams really go after each other on Twitter. And it's such a significant part of the game. It's becoming that for MLS. But every once in a while, one team does more than the rest. You know what I mean? And I think this is an example of that.
If this was a tweet that the Cooligans were crafting, Alexis wants to write a tweet about the Super Bowl, I'd be like, yo, Alexis, that last line,
we may
need to edit that one, because where's the joke?
I like how you've suddenly given yourself this tone you take, which you do not take. You'd be like, hey, that last line, don't do that on our channel. Do that on your own.
That's not Alexis' tweet. That is not an at Soccer Cooligans.
You must have picked the wrong account when you started tweeting this out.
So, look, I mean, I get it. I mean, and maybe there's a context that we might be missing, but it does seem a little bit wild. But what are you going to do?
By the way, Football Capo says, Alexi tiene mucho sauce con ese green Yankee cap. And now Kevincho spelled it a different way, Yankee with a Y.
Right.
How does your family say it?
It's
somewhere between a Y and a J.
Yeah, I would say more Y than J.
I get somewhere closer to a J, Yankee.
Yeah.
Los Yankees. Shouts to everyone hanging out. If you're listening, I'm wearing a green Yankee hat.
Okay.
And shouts to you, Football Capo, for just understanding style.
But again, congrats to the Kansas City Chiefs. I honestly thought it was going to be fairly easy for the Eagles. But yeah, but it was.
You should have had a boom at the end, so you know it didn't land correctly.
But no, entertaining game, but I'll say it was a great game. Terrible commercials, boring commercials.
I actually enjoyed the Ben Affleck one.
The Ben Affleck, oh, the Dunkin' Donuts one. That was probably one of the better ones.
The J-Lo at the end, when she goes, "Get me a glaze," and we're all like, everyone in the room I was in was like, "She ain't no Dunkin', bro." Bro, she's what, 50 something, and it looks incredible. There was a photo of her in a bathing suit, and I was like, come on.
Yeah. She's is it Gucci? She's like on all the at the airports, and where you walk by a Gucci store, you see her. She looks great. Good for her. But have you seen
I'm friends with her A-Rod's private chef, so formerly J-Lo's private chef, and I can confirm he ain't making no donuts.
Have you heard the stories? I don't know if they're true, but about J-Lo, of how she's like terrible to like service staff and waitstaff.
I heard
staff.
She's a bad tipper.
Yeah.
And not from him. I've heard that. We were talking about that in the room yesterday.
Yeah. Apparently I've seen several of these on TikTok with several different people tell stories about having interactions with J-Lo. And they say that one time she was with Ben Affleck and tipped like a hotel person or whatever. And Ben Affleck tipped like $50 and she saw how much it was and took back some money because she thought that tip was too much.
Well, this is my aunt. My aunt doesn't get tipping. She's like, nobody tipped me in the factory. And it's like,
I don't know if that's true. This is all alleged, but that sounds like one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
My aunt's a sweetheart. There's two things about it. I mean, honestly, a sweetheart probably wouldn't be the person that J-Lo tipping. Nice, sensible speed.
That's a good, safe comedy that we need from, accounts like FC Dallas.
Yeah, FC Dallas. Pick up a notepad, bro.
Mike Thomas is here in the chat, crushing it.
My aunt is a sweetheart of a human being, was like a second mom to me. I absolutely love her. Probably somewhere where I got, a part of my sense of humor. A lot of it came from my grandfather, but she's also like a very funny person and just very quick-witted. Well, I don't know if you have family members like this. It seems to be a very immigrant thing. If we were driving home from somewhere and my aunt sees like an ambulance or a police car go that way, we are now following the police car or the ambulance.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard this?
Literally an ambulance chaser?
My aunt will stand there like this to see if there's a crowd of people. She'll be like, ¿qué pasó? My aunt needs the tea right away. And then she'll just call and be like, I followed the ambulance. We went to Summer Ave, blah, blah, blah. This guy must be hitting his wife again, blah, blah. I told you he was a piece of, what I mean? That's my aunt.
Got it.
She will also steal something from a restaurant. Utensil, cup, something.
Fascinating woman.
Yeah. I mean, very layered. And also, is this explaining me a little bit more? These are the people who raised me. She does not understand tipping. She thinks tipping is whatever change is left, like coins. And I'm explaining, like, no, they get paid nothing per hour. You tip based on what you eat. And she's like, nope, we didn't do that in Cuba. Is her first excuse.
Yeah.
And two, no one tipped her in the factory she worked in. I'm like, well, that's not how tipping works. It's when someone hands you something. She's like, oh, so okay. She's like, I handed the delivery man all of the pallets. And I'm like, then the delivery guy should have tipped you, honestly.
Right. Okay.
She just will not get it. It will not wrap her brain. You don't have family like this?
I do not have anybody that incredibly dense. No.
You and I argue about tipping all the time. I think you're a more sensible tipper than I am.
I don't have a lot of money.
Well, so neither do I, but I think 20 is standard and you still believe 15 is standard.
I go with the double tax move, double the tax. I feel like that was the rule of thumb for a long time and I've stuck with it.
I feel it's you move the decimal point over for the total and then you double that 20%.
Good for you.
That's standard. Let us know in the chat what is standard out by you.
All right. Well, what's standard in the Premier League is VAR has no idea what they're doing because...
Bro, seems to only happen to Arsenal.
Because
when I try to say it's a conspiracy theory, people tell me I'm being crazy.
It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just straight up, just poor Management, people doing their jobs poorly. I don't think it's anything more than that.
This is absolutely atrocious.
But yes, Arsenal do draw against Brentford in a game that, I mean, do we see the possession stats that happened over the weekend? It was, I mean, it was all Arsenal, right? 69%. Nice. Bro, let's go.
That's the fastest I can go. It doesn't even register where he goes.
Dude, embarrassing.
Bro,
dude.
I got to call my wife and apologize.
Okay. The football capital call said Varsenal.
Bro, everybody's laughing. Everyone's having a good time.
Oh, people look in the chat. Some people saying 16%. 12%, some people saying 25%.
12%?
Whoa, look at this.
Andrew Johnson, what are you getting? Split pea soup and half a corn muffin at the diner with the rest of the blue plate specials? You cannot be out here tipping 12%, hey, look, bro. People might be spitting your food,
it's
dog.
Different in probably different parts of the country.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying, no. We're getting different numbers.
Alexis hates bees.
Oh, that's right, because of Brentford.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I do hate bees, bro.
Bro, just an example. Look, this game, it felt like...
Look, Arsenal wasn't Arsenaling in this game, right? They didn't show up the way that I thought they would.
I mean, the last couple of weeks, they haven't been Arsenaling.
No, they've been the last three matches. I would say, for sure, we deserve to win the game, but we didn't look like top of the league. We didn't look like the league... We didn't look like the title contenders we've looked in the past.
Yeah.
Something is going on. Second half of the season, this seems to always happen to us. I believe when Jesus gets back, a lot of that will go away. But right now, it seems like Martinelli and it seems like Eddie Nketiah have zero chemistry. And it just leads to a little bit of confusion, especially when we're trying to play against five at the back, which Brentford was playing the entire game and completely clogging all of that space. That said...
Yeah.
We scored when we had the opportunity. Saka with an incredible assist. Trossard happened to be at the right place at the right time. I loved his inclusion. He looks great when he's brought in. But then we get to, and I'll go, they're going to equalize because you could feel it.
Totally.
You could feel it. And then they do. And then I was watching the replay and I was like, yo, Norgaard is offside though. So, of course, they're going to call it offside. And then I forgot what I did. I think I looked down and grabbed my cup of coffee. And then I look up and it was like a goal. And I'm like, well, what happened? So I missed part of it.
Right.
And you said they never put the lines down.
Right. I was watching the game and I felt like, oh, this is, I don't remember them ever putting the actual lines down to determine whether it was offside or onside.
They definitely didn't. And the other thing they did was it seemed like they kind of took it off the screen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like the freeze frame that normally does have the...
Because I think, yeah, they initially were looking at the first pass. Right. And then, like, the header, the first sort of... once the ball was actually touched by a Brentford player. And initially, you're just like, oh, I mean, I guess it felt like it could be onside, right? It didn't seem egregiously offside, I would say that. But no. The fact that they didn't just display those lines to just put everyone at ease to all the viewers and say, like, okay, this is why it's clearly onside. And that was, it was just an odd thing. I'm like, why didn't they just show that? And then we learn later that the referees, the Premier League referees, put out a public apology saying, oh, a guy just forgot to put down the lines.
Human error. Which, why we got these machines, bro? Let ChatGPT do it.
Yo, get ChatGPT right there, center pitch, to be the referee. Because
bro,
they do-
why we got the machines if the dude's not going to hit the lines button?
And you would think that would be the instinct, is to like, yo, let me just show my work. You know what I mean?
Also, let's do the thing. We've done every other time ad nauseum.
I don't know why... I don't know how you forget to do this, but
Football Cabo said, rest in peace, Maradona, turning in his grave right now for not having lines. Different lines, Football Cabo.
But it's a common mistake.
Yes. If Maradona was a VAR, you know lines would have been involved, dog.
And Ice Cold Root said, AI VAR would be even worse.
How?
Any worse than this? Nick Rest said, offside GPT coming soon.
Bro, we need it.
Well, at this point, look, Premier League hasn't implemented the technology from the World Cup of, like, you know, where they analyzing all the players.
I can't believe we're giving credit to FIFA here. But yes.
But it's like it would have removed that human error because the machine would have clearly.
The machine does it.
We need the machines to help us here.
Premier League always been moving a little weird, a little sus.
A little sus?
With Premier League, with VAR. Remember at first, they were the ones who were like, I'm not going to go look at the screen.
Right.
Everyone followed suit. But at first, we're like, yo, everybody else is looking at the screen. Why aren't you looking at the screen? Premier League always trying to do a little too much. They're FC Dallas-ing a little bit.
They also didn't implement VAR till they were like the last one.
Yeah, dog. What are we doing? How a human error. So what happens now? Everyone has admitted that they made a mistake, that it should have been offside.
Right.
So what happens to Arsenal? Do we get two extra points?
Nah, dog. You are.
So that's it? We're just going to hold that?
You're just 3 points above.
This is going to sound
well
sus, but we got to just hold that D?
Bro, look, unfortunate. And look, this is going to happen throughout any season. You're going to have calls that go your way and then some that don't. Remember, Arsene Wenger always said that, you know, by the end of the season, it all kind of balances out. But at this, the era that we're in the Premier League with so much money on the line, you can't do that. It can't be, it's going to balance out.
This could have cost us the league.
If people didn't see the play, Norgaard, who was the one who sent the ball to Ivan Toney, that was just a tap-in, a header, he came from an offside position.
Right.
And I wouldn't say it's obvious because it's all happening pretty, pretty fast.
It is if you put the lines down because they've done it in post.
Right, right.
And he's offside.
And he's offside. So, look, Arsenal.
There was a player's butt. Got him offside in a World Cup.
You mean, no, the butt kept him onside.
Kept him onside.
Varane's butt kept Lautaro Martinez.
But Norgaard's shoulder's not good enough?
And now, especially after the World Cup, the way the Premier League just simply doing the lines, now doesn't don't the lines now seem outdated? Like, we're still doing this? It's only been like 2 years.
Also, this is how we found out they have to do the lines themselves?
Yeah, yeah.
I just assumed it was like a program. You know, like when you introduce VAR, that is part of what happens.
No.
I thought they picked the freeze frame and then the lines did it themselves.
No. You could, because sometimes you can, if you ever watch them as they do it, you can see them actually moving the lines and placing them.
Bro, this is ridiculous.
So they're out there using like AutoCAD, you know, and setting up, doing all the geometry.
Follow along with me if you don't know what AutoCAD is.
It's an architecture program.
I actually know what it is.
Okay, so then
it's funnier for the audience.
I'm stupid, everybody.
There's hundreds of thousands of people listening to this show that don't know what it is. I will represent them.
No, you don't have to do that.
No. I'm going to play to the middle of the audience. You do that stupid improv thing of playing to the top of the audience.
Okay. And Ice Cold Brew said, get that NFL TV broadcast first down marker tech for offsides VAR calls. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. I had seen a video on how they do the first down line and the line of scrimmage and all that stuff. And they basically turn the field into a green screen, and they pick a color to determine what the line is going to be. And but then they also have to do like a virtual. You know, we're talking about AutoCAD or whatever, but they have to do a virtual model of the stadium itself so that the cameras understand, you know, where to put the lines and stuff like that. So it's actually much more involved than just simply placing down a line. It's like a lot more automated.
And this is why when they were talking about making changes, FIFA was talking about making changes. One of the changes they wanted to make was to stop the clock every time the ball goes out of bounds.
Right, right.
But that would then create this need of like, at what point exactly did it go out of bounds?
Exactly, yeah.
So there's like this entire introduction of clock management now that has to be going in versus now, which is like, you know, it's about 5 minutes. Just get out there and play and let's see what we do. So hundreds and thousands is what I said, by the way, P. Morton, not hundreds of thousands. It gets so frustrating because everyone there knows Brentford didn't deserve this goal. And here's the thing. You could keep the standings the way they are. You could keep us at 16 wins, 3 draws, and 2 losses, but still give us 53 points instead of 51 points.
Bro,
it's only fair,
shut
dude.
Up. Bro, that's it. It happens. This sucks. This is part of the game. Errors are part of the game.
And the game in hand we have is against Manchester City. Arsenal, this isn't fair.
Arsenal want this title so bad. And they just this just so scared. Win it. Well, how about why'd you lose to Everton? Huh? How about answer that?
I refuse to answer such blatantly.
Brentford played like Burnley, bro, last year. Dude, they just sat back and were like, yo, no, nobody's having fun today.
No, they were like, that's it. We got like three buses we about to park back here, bro.
And it's kind of remarkable when teams are able to do this so well. Arsenal have looked spectacular this season.
Sean Dyche did the same thing.
Right.
But the thing that they stole from you guys is they doubled up on Saka again.
Yeah, it wasn't until Saka did not have much of a game until that one play.
They stopped doubling up on him. And by the way, can we get in the goddamn dressing room and figure this out?
Martinelli, you mentioned Martinelli before, and I saw a clip from Troops on AFTV, and it was one of the more...
Let me guess, level-headed?
Level-headed?
Was it?
I'm just like, Troops, what, did you turn over a new leaf?
Damn, Troops.
Did you change the Z to an S? I didn't even have to lower the volume on my phone when I'm listening to him. But he really pointed out, and it was a great observation about how Martinelli, and you mentioned Nketiah, they really have no real chemistry there. Martinelli suffers more. It seems with Nketiah there,
it's blatantly obvious.
Yeah,
Nketiah is a wildly different player than Gabriel Jesus. There's no question that. Look, the first three or four matches were like adrenaline, right? Jesus is out, World Cup. We had a long break. Everyone get in. We had a lot of practice time together. Let's try to get in there and win these games. And it continued. And Nketiah was scoring goals that weren't typical of the run of play for Arsenal.
Right.
The big issue for me became, you know, as more time sort of developed and like we saw more, you started to see like, oh, these two don't have a way of playing together. It just doesn't actually work. And now we're at a point where Eddie's not exactly the prolific player he was at the beginning of this. And I'm looking like, yo, Jesus is like another, 2 weeks away?
It's like a month. He said mid-March is when he's going to come back.
No, he's already training with the team.
Okay. Maybe it's sooner than... But,
bro, get in here now. Whatever they gave to Pat Mahomes, bro, give it to Gabriel Jesus.
But can we go back just a couple of weeks ago how you were saying that Gabriel's just coming back? Jesus coming back is not... It's not a guarantee for Nketiah to lose his spot.
That was when Eddie Nketiah was playing well. That now, guess what? Guarantee, bro. You out, yo.
So I don't know. Maybe I don't know if Arsenal have been figured out, but they
look. It's very clear that doubling up on Saka, and because Gabriel Jesus isn't there to adjust and put that pressure on the back line, Martinelli doesn't give you the opportunity to be as dangerous as he is. So right now, while Eddie Nketiah is in, that seems to be something that works. And they haven't figured out. What alleviates a lot of that is Trossard is able to really put pressure on the opposite side in a way Nketiah and Zinchenko haven't been able to do. I'm sorry, Martinelli and Zinchenko haven't been able to do on their own. So Trossard coming in, I almost want to see him start over a Xhaka. Because it seems to me like if Zinchenko comes in and plays that central midfielder, then you could have Trossard really put pressure on that back line and start to spread them out.
You're going
to
give up a gang of goals if you get it.
I don't think so.
Trossard is not the defender that
Granit Xhaka doesn't need to be. Zinchenko and Partey are going to have to be.
Maybe. I would say
Also, I'm willing to say William Saliba haven't been looking that good. He hasn't looked bad, but he hasn't looked that good.
Brentford did something I thought what was impressive from Brentford, and somebody, Kirby D in the chat just said, Christian, if you don't shut your ass up with this Brexit football. But look, Everton fighting for any point. I'm like, look, I'm out here learning the fundamentals of the game.
Christian's like, we're taking it back to square one, bro.
Okay.
Talk to me about the WM formation. I heard that was used to great effect here, in 1925.
I'm out here criticizing players that are dancing too much, doing too many tricks.
Everyone put on black boots.
Okay, back in my day, that's how I'm starting all my sentences. What Brentford did and which is somewhat impressive is they They put no pressure on the center backs. You saw Gabriel and you saw Saliba basically at the half moon at
having
the top
a day
of
at the park, bro.
They're just really, they packed the box, bro.
Yeah, man.
And when you see, I think Gabriel Magalhães, he took one or two shots and stuff like that. But
I kept saying to myself, first of all, we weren't barely taking shots because they were just completely clogging everything.
Yeah.
And then Gabriel takes a shot. I'm like, bro, if this is what we do and we lose in the game, bro.
They said like, yo, you can have the ball. Again, this is what Netherlands did to the U.S. You just don't put any pressure on them. Force them to make decisions and make passes as opposed to the front line of Brentford putting pressure and then creating space in the middle for Odegaard to have a great time and pick out players all day. And they just couldn't figure it out.
But this is the second game where these tactics have come to mind. We haven't come up with a plan B, bro.
Well, the plan was the January transfer window to sign a couple players, but apparently
we did. Trossard.
nobody's allowed to go to Arsenal. I don't know how it works,
bro. Teams are just trying to get every bit. They're like, "Yo, I think this player is worth 30." Arsenal's on the phone. Tell them 60.
Yeah. You know, we know they got it.
Yeah. And tell them we're not even going to pick up the phone unless they say 60.
So
Pete Morgan said Mourinho shed a tear. He's so proud,
bro. It was wild, and I think, you know, the game wasn't boring because we know what
there was also a lot of back and forth. Justin Freeberg actually put a pretty good analysis. He said Norgaard and Jensen were just basically sending Mbeumo and Tony down the channels and getting into space, created a number of chances for Brentford, which look, when you play that way, you have to know that's how you're going to be countered. Sean Dyche in his masterclass basically said, like, our goal is to get the ball in this general area where we can isolate those fullbacks with faster players and we can create chances. Which there was a moment where the ball was going out of bounds and Tony just like sidekicked it into space.
Yeah.
And Mbeumo would find a way to get it. I'm like, how are we not more prepared? That's actually a game where Tomiyasu is probably a little bit of a better pick than a Ben White.
Okay.
Because Tomiyasu is a bit more of a traditional back, sort of back and forth kind of channel runner. And also here in Tierney.
It's also Brentford, right?
What position? They're in eighth.
Brentford.
Stop being disrespectful, bro. They're in eighth.
It's Arsenal. Shouldn't Arsenal be able to figure out?
Yes. And we did, but we got cheated out of 3 points. If that VAR thing doesn't happen, one, we have a different thumbnail, and two, we don't talk about this.
Thanks, Brentford.
Damn,
for the
bro.
Thumbnail you made us make.
It's because of y'all, VAR.
Okay. So, look,
Football Capital said Arsenal always getting diched.
Does this put any...
Which makes sense.
Does it put any fear into Arsenal season?
It's...
Now...
Here's the fear is, if we lose to City, they go above us on goal differential.
Yeah. So, they could be a new league leader. This Wednesday game on Wednesday,
unless we beat them, unless they.
That's a 6-pointer. It's one of those. Yeah,
it is, and this is our game in hand. Not really, because then they go up to 23, and we're at 22. So technically, we still have a game in hand. But that's another game against City.
I mean, look, City's looking. They're looking a little.
No, they look good. Aston Villa, bro.
I mean,
Unai Emery couldn't help us out a little bit, bro.
Look, Tottenham is doing more for Arsenal than Unai is.
I can't believe y'all beat City for us.
How
are they still in fifth? They've looked so bad, and they will not go away. Manchester City legit look like a title contender as well. They're only at 46 points.
Manchester United. You mean.
United, my bad. Not
yeah,
City.
United look great as well. And we'll talk about them in a little bit too.
And also, again, continue shouts to Newcastle, who we very rarely talk about, but they've only lost one game. It was to us, but they've only lost one game.
Yeah. Newcastle, who they play in their last game? I did watch that game. Who they play?
They drew. They drew to somebody.
Why isn't that show it here? Who they play? Oh, Bournemouth. Yeah. was a good game. Okay. Well, we know what Arsenal need. Arsenal need to take a break. They need to chill, bro.
They need to pop a nice cold Coors Light, bro. Hell
yeah, dog. Because
that's what I do when I feel like I've been on.
Uh-huh.
I got to relax a little bit. You know what I mean? You know what I like to do? I like to kick my feet up on the couch. That's a new thing. Not always. Mm. I've never been a kick my feet up on the couch kind of a guy.
But you kick your feet up on the couch?
Yeah. So I'm sitting side saddle.
You're not supposed to put your feet on the couch, or you're not your shoes, bro.
I don't put my shoes. I'm talking about my feet.
Okay.
Just my feet on the couch. But you can't stop there, right? I don't feel relaxed until I hear the tss of a nice cold Coors Light popping open. You know how I know it's cold? Because the little mountains on the front, they tell you, they turn blue, bro.
You know, I want to snowboard down those mountains, okay? You know, because of a nice snowboarding trip back in Colorado.
Right? You go up to Colorado, like, I'm not going down the mountains until they're blue, baby.
I need to know they're cold. The ice is not enough.
Yeah, I don't know about this snow cat.
So, look, whenever you need to chill, grab yourself a Coors Light. That way, you always know when it's time to chill because you see the mountains right
there. It's literally made to chill.
Exactly. It's too obvious, okay? So when it's time to unwind, Coors Light is the beer we reach for. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/cooligans.
Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
I love this from Michael Raymond. He says, how did the Cooligans not get a Super Bowl commercial? Thank you. You're asking the right question. All right.
Oh, it's about damn time, bro.
So a couple more questions in the chat here. Bay Raguna said, when do Man City get their point deduction? I've heard.
I'm sweating, bro. Can you help us out a little bit?
Did you see the Manchester City fans are now holding signs that are like supporting like the lawyer that's involved in the case? They're like, they drew an image of the lawyer to like, what, you better watch out, London.
Yeah. Also, did you see that someone just drew a middle finger and it said, investigate this?
Yes, I did see that too.
Which, that's kind of that's my level of creativity right there.
Who drew that? FC Dallas? Yeah.
That was FC. I was like, yo, that was my tweet. I got that in the draft, dude.
I've heard, the rumor I've heard is that this case might last years, that it may not be resolved. Not like the way with Juve, where they got their point deduction almost immediately.
Here's the thing, though. I'm under the impression that the Premier League or the FA has the right to deduct points.
Yeah.
They're allowed to levy their discipline, even though the trial is still happening. You know, you could sue them for that,
yeah,
but they're still able to impose
right.
that punishment on you.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows what this how the season is going to end up. Okay, a couple other things. I wanted to...
Kirby D said, somehow that there is more integrity in Italy. This is wild.
Did you see this, Alexis? I don't know if you saw this.
I did not see this.
Okay, so there's a player who plays for Slavia Prague. His name is, I'm probably going to butcher the name, Jacob Jankto or Jakub Jankto. I'll play.
Good attempt.
Okay, I'll play this video. I won't play the audio, but you can get the idea if you're watching. But he announced that he's gay.
Oh, wow. So it's a very, there's a term, I think it's churrasco. For this style of video, this is black background, black t-shirt, mm-hmm. lighting only on one side of his face, very little filler on the other side. Usually denotes a very dramatic event.
Right.
Which is the style of directing, that you would choose this to mention something very specific. But also you would choose this when you want to solely focus on the expression on the person's face. And yeah, he's announcing via this video that he is homosexual.
Yeah. And you see it in the last caption there. He says this purpose of this video is not for entertainment. It is to encourage, to inspire and encourage others. And he plays for the Czech Republic and he plays for Slavia Prague.
Very brave of him.
Very brave. I mean, you see the comments and I did the scrolling through the comments. And I'm like, I'm glad that it is positive. Everybody's saying something kind.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I'm sure there's some place on the internet where it is very, very negative. But no, I just wanted to make sure we gave. Wait, which is it?
That's the clap.
Okay. I wanted to make sure we gave props because this is a huge deal because we don't see many active players, especially.
I'm glad he's doing this, but I do want to reiterate, very brave. He did not have to do this.
He did not. He
very clearly could have just kept this, you know, to the side during his career, knowing what's going to come next. And he could have just played his career, which a lot of players have done.
Right.
And then sort of come out of the closet after. But this is extremely brave and we should all be absolutely applauding.
Yeah. So it's up to see. I think the frustrating part is that it's like a thing we sort of have to highlight.
It feels weird in 2023.
It is, but it's like we have to highlight it because there's too much homophobia and too much toxicity around men who are gay who play sports.
So dumb.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to talk about it because in the hope that it will just normalize it and make more people comfortable in talking about this and living their truth. So.
But there's also, I don't know if you saw this, Arsenal put up they're called the Gay Gooners.
Yes, yes.
They put up a thing and that the comments in that got a little bit rough.
Brutal.
And they had to come back out and say, like, we deleted, we had to stop the comments on that. We support the Gay Gooners and everything that they've done to help support the team.
Yeah.
They've had events and stuff. It sucks that we have to bring this up. It's just one of those things like, dude, can that part of the game be gone already? You know, like the hatred towards some other group, whether it be homosexuals or there's still in some clubs an anti-Semitic, sort of slant. Just, dude, enjoy the game. It's a bunch of guys kicking a ball. It's a bunch of women kicking a ball. It's a bunch of people kicking balls. Can't we just enjoy that?
Yeah.
And let other people enjoy it? Seems really stupid.
It does. But these people tend to be very, very loud, especially on the internet. I feel like, especially the last couple, since, you know, Elon took over Twitter, it's...
Hanging out next to Rupert Murdoch.
I know. Just dapping out the homies.
Well, it feels good to be here.
I don't know if anybody else's, like, Twitter feed, it feels like it is more... leaning towards less of the stuff that you like or like the things that you curate.
Oh, Elon has said this. He wants to show people things opposite of the things
they really like. It's really bad. I'm like,
I like not being in a bubble.
Right.
I do like that. I like to know what
I love my bubble. Oh. put me in that same liberal bubble. I love it.
I enjoy seeing what other people think, even if I disagree with it, but some of this stuff is like, oh, this isn't what somebody's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, a different way to get to B is this road. Like, that's not what I'm seeing.
It's
what
really
I'm
bad.
Seeing is like, F me and my beliefs. And I'm like,
so what I love about Jacob's post is that I think the acknowledgement of like, yo, this could get really bad really fast if we don't throw in positivity. So there's just like a wave of positivity to just not, so that the negativity isn't
drowned out.
Visible. Yeah. So that's that. We got to fight it with love, bro.
Bro.
That's what they're doing. So great on a lot of folks to do that.
Speaking of England, you want to do the football ramble?
The
homies want to play this clip because this is dope.
Okay. Yeah. I had to. Where's the thing I had? Here we go. Yeah. Oh, so we've been doing. So this is an initiative. I think we're going to kind of push a little bit more. We want to show love to.
Speaking of love.
Show love to the people who show us love and yeah. Maybe do, you know, that cross pollination. Show, you know, get people. Football Ramble has been.
Dude, they are the OG OGs.
They've been around for a very long time.
Right.
There was some. I just saw a clip of that there was a player that scored a goal, like a teenager. So they were highlighting this like youngest player to score in blah 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 in some league, and they were like, this kid scored or he started. He was born after Football Ramble.
Yeah,
started.
Football Ramble's like, bro, you got to come good as a prospect. That's how old Football Ramble is.
So we just want to show them some love.
And shouts to everybody there. Shouts to Luke, Pete, Marcus, V2, everybody there.
Pete. Oh, okay.
Second
okay.
name. Shouts to everybody there because they've always, always showed us love when we go out to the UK or whenever they're in town. Our first ever episode we filmed in this room
right.
was an interview. And it looked, you saw what it looked like. Go back. It looked like a fucking sleeper cell in there. That was with Luke Aaron Moore, who's always absolutely showed us love. They showed us love when they came. He was on our TV show when they did their tour.
Right.
He invited us to their tour stuff. I mean, absolutely incredible. He's always hung out with me when I've been in the UK.
So we wanted to play a quick clip from Football Ramble. So everybody, if you're listening to this, watching this, go check them out. And here's it's a quick little preview of Football Ramble.
King Charles and the Queen Consort recently visited Wrexham on a trip to Wales to learn more about Wrexham's regeneration.
Yeah, right. They all want to see Ryan Reynolds, don't exactly. they?
Well, Rob McElhenney said, we hope he's a fan. If not, we'll make him a fan.
Look, all I'm saying is,
how would you make King Charles a fan of a football
that's what I was going to say.
Have him up against the wall? Right, listen here.
If I said to someone, your challenge is to make King Charles III a genuine fan of Wrexham Football Club,
yeah.
it's a tough ask.
I think it's a tough ask. He doesn't look interested in being a king.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe he's up for it.
So Wrexham's going to be a challenge.
There it is. Shout out to Football Ramble. Go follow them at Football Ramble everywhere, and go check out the podcast. It's English. It's very English.
I did ask Luke. I'm like, is there anything in particular you want me to say after we play this?
Yeah.
And he said, nah, you could do whatever you want. You know, make it. You know, be cooligans about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, we're gonna make fun of you for starting that episode like it's an NPR show. But he did say, search Football Ramble everywhere you get your podcast and hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode, which it seems like a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But do at least two of those.
Kevin just said royal talk. No, they're great. They're absolute homies. Hilarious group of people. And they have a lot of like spinoff shows and a lot of, they cover women's football, a bunch of other stuff. So go check them out.
But I mean, look, for in many, very many ways, if they didn't do what they did, they probably wouldn't have opened the door for what we do.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I would say they have a lot of banter. They have a lot of jokes. They are a lot more TSS where they actually give you real information.
Yeah, they know their stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, they're great. Great podcast. If you like hearing, you know, that colonizer accent, go check them out, dude.
we're huge fans.
We're very big fans.
A couple things I wanted to throw at you, Alexis, especially because
a brick.
Chelsea Football Club are in the mud. They can't.
Mykhailo Mudryk. Bro, zeros across the board, bro. This kid's not getting a shot on goal. He ain't looking good. He will come good, but right now?
But the question now happens to be about Graham Potter. And they've basically said that he has a long leash. They're okay with, I don't know, I'm not going to say they're okay with where they are, but they're not making any rash decisions. They obviously had a manager change earlier this year. We're obviously moving on from Thomas Tuchel to Graham Potter. And Brighton are clearly above Chelsea right now. I'm sure, you know, maybe Graham misses it a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I was like, man, I could have been in Champions League next year.
But what's up with Chelsea? Let's just try to figure out what is going on with this club, because I think our fans are upset. You know, I think
Todd Boehly liked a Twitter or Instagram post that said Cucurella mm-hmm. is not good enough for the club.
Ooh.
This is not, it's not good. Yo, Todd Boehly needs to stop FC Dallas-ing.
Todd Boehly is running FC Dallas' Twitter account.
Get off. Get off. Get a burner, will you?
But so this is my initial theory with Chelsea. Chelsea seem to me having the problem that I thought Nottingham Forest were going to have, which is like, you bring in all these new players, there's no real sign that you're going to have any chemistry. And this is, Chelsea looks like they have a internal problem.
I don't think it's internal. I think that there's a lot of turmoil with what happened with Abramovich switching to Todd Boehly. Todd Boehly has come in and kind of been a bit insane, but this is very clearly a on the pitch problem.
You think so?
Yeah, you don't think so?
Well, I look, the on the pitch problems, I'll say, look, losing Ben Chilwell and Reece James to injury was probably the on field issue.
Reece James is a massive loss for them.
Right, right. Have you seen clips of his Lauren, right? Lauren James' sister?
Isn't that who we interviewed?
No. She played for Everton. The girl that we interviewed was in Everton.
But she's related to a player.
She's cousins with Lingard.
Okay. I knew she was related to somebody.
You wouldn't remember if you interviewed Lauren James of Chelsea Football Club.
I thought maybe she was on loan.
Anyway, that's why I'm here, I guess. To remember if we interviewed Lauren James of Chelsea Football Club.
100% is why you're here.
She's just been absolutely, there was one run, she like ran the entire pitch and scored a goal.
She's incredible.
She's incredible. She's doing great. But Chelsea, losing those two players, I think that was the kind of like the beginning of this downward slope. But then the thing going on with Hakim Ziyech, because he was supposed to go to PSG,
right?
And he had the problem, which we'll maybe talk about this tomorrow. We didn't even talk about Julian Araujo last week, but which is
we got to talk about that
tomorrow. Yeah, brutal. He was supposed to go to PSG. He was happy to go connect with his Moroccan homie.
Yeah. They were trying to bring him
Hakimi.
In.
Hakimi. Yeah. And same paperwork didn't get filed in time. There was some issue. And the dude is furious.
Can we just say, like, yo, FIFA, you're being a little too strict with this.
You think? I mean, at some point, you have to set a deadline.
I get you get a deadline, but there should be a buffer beyond that deadline. I'm willing to say that within a minute of that, it's like, did you send every club an atomic clock? You know what I'm saying? Like, my phone doesn't say it. You know what I mean? Like, this is wrong. This is wrong. We'll talk about Julian Araujo tomorrow, but 18 seconds? This is not right. You have to, the NYPD gives you a buffer for parking tickets, man. And it's about 5 minutes.
There is this is why I'm okay with it. And it's mainly because everybody knows what
you're a rules guy. That's why.
Everybody knows what the deadline is. And there's millions and millions of dollars being moved around and transferred. At some point, it has to stop. It's going to get way too confusing. It can get overwhelming on certain clubs.
No, I think you got to have a leniency towards this clock. Not everyone is on the exact same clock. It's not fair. It's just you're holding massive negotiations that teeter on little backs and forths that you just can't have that on these extreme deadlines. Major corporations don't deal on deadlines like this. When I was for those of you who don't know, when I was in the corporate world, I was a contract negotiator. This was my job, was to get flown around the country to negotiate major, major deals. And a lot of these major deals hinder on a previous supplier saying, you need to get back to us by blank or else blank. And those are even movable. These are major corporations also dealing with millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know, stoppages of supplies getting in that could completely change your bottom line, your end. And even they're like, look, this is an intense negotiation. We're going to extend the deadline 3 hours. We're going to extend the deadline 6 hours to see if we can get this done. Our previous supplier is even willing to accept that. How is FIFA like, nope, we hit the bell and it's over.
It's like the stock market. The stock market closes. There's no more trading after the stock market closes. There has to some point where everybody agrees.
That's wrong because it opens the next day. All the stock market.
I understand that.
It doesn't shut for the next eight months.
It opens in the summer and it sucks. But it's not on any particular player. These are people's jobs. Their job is to negotiate these transfers. Why can't they do it in time?
Dude, you need translators. These are in different countries. Phone calls are being had.
Bro.
This is too much. I could understand back in the day when it was a fax or you sent a letter. The letter's got to get here by X date. Sure, you could get kicked out of your house if you don't do that correctly. But now where we're dealing with these things are happening off WhatsApp.
Ben Skolnick said, Christian, not everyone can hit the send button on the email like you turbo fingers.
Yeah. My guy's getting it in before the line.
Look how many transfers I've just completed.
Still only half of what Chelsea did.
Okay. So look, It's
Yousef said Alexis pulling up with the BlackBerry, not taking it. Yo, I was heavy with the BlackBerry. Yo, my side scroll was crazy. Would have made his little Twitter finger look like nothing.
Bro, did you fix Diddy's BlackBerry?
Yeah,
I did.
No, I would have. You would have needed to fix mine because I was scrolling heavy.
Okay, so overall. Look, Chelsea look really, really bad. I mean, there's no real no other way to put it. There is a
Reece James did play against West Ham, by the way.
Did he come back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, actually, no. We have to talk about this. Speaking of VAR, did you see the handball from West Ham that wasn't called?
No.
It was late in the game. Conor Gallagher
was this? Yeah, he
falling down to the ground. And yeah. Who was the player?
Suchek.
Suchek, Thomas Suchek.
I did see this.
Yes. He, he handled the ball. I don't know any of that. Yes, he's putting his arm down.
He's falling. He's bracing for the fall. This is not as obvious.
Yeah. It's.
You would have expected VAR of a previous era to come in and say, we got to stickler. But the rules changed. Remember last year, the rule was if the ball touches below your shoulder, regardless, unless ever it's completely against the body or against the, you know, not in the way of the ball against your body, it was a handball, whether you meant for it or not.
Right, right, right.
That's changed this year. Now there's a bit more leniency to the rule. They got leniency with that, but not
yeah, it's like, well, you know, arm in a natural position is, it was borderline. I mean, made his body just a little bit bigger. Look, do I also think Fabianski, right? Fabianski's a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I think he saves it. Regardless,
you got to be able to brace your fall. We can't ask these players to fall face first into the dirt.
I know that.
So that they don't put their hands out.
But it looked bad. I mean, maybe people in the chat can give you your opinion. But it looked, I would have called it if it was me.
I also probably would have called it. I picture Alexis with a BlackBerry while on the job at Dunder Mifflin and then on a sidekick. For the extra.
Chelsea, I want to, they did even Chelsea, we're talking about FC Dallas and their thing and their Twitter, but Chelsea also kind of went off too. I'm going to look for the,
I don't know this,
for the tweet, but they were not happy with that result at all. Give me a second before
I'm also going to say, I do not like these gold kits.
Oh, from Chelsea? Chelsea? Yeah, they're not great. I know that they're what you call it? The sponsor is going to be over this year. And a lot of
three?
People hate that sponsor. Yeah. João Félix did score that goal, by the way. So
by the way, João Félix actually looked good.
Right, right.
Yeah. He looks like a Premier League player.
Damn, where? Oh, right. Here it is. So here's the tweet from Chelsea.
12 million views.
And it just said, Suchek makes a great save from Conor Gallagher. So look, they, you know, leaning into it, it was a, it looked like a handball to me. So, you know, we're talking about Arsenal getting robbed. I thought Chelsea has very much a case as well. Camilo said a handball for me. Cavincho said it was hands for me.
It is a handball for sure. But this is the problem with this handball rule is that we have to make adjustments based on what we see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of me is like, well, if the guy is bracing his fall, we have to accept that that's a natural position to put your hands in if you're falling forward.
Okay, let's see. Christina Uncle, who's the referee and correspondent also on TBS. I haven't seen this.
She just got a job at Apple.
Oh, that's right.
MLS. Just to
So I'm curious to see what she said about this. So let's see what Christina Uncle said.
West Ham Chelsea, interesting play in the 89th minute. Did Suchek get away with the handling offense? Now, in my opinion, this is a missed recommendation for a penalty. Now, this is a subjective decision, and what the official in the center and the official in the VAR room is asking themselves is whether Suchek used his arm to support his body when he committed to the ground. Now, I can appreciate why the center official would not have called this a penalty in real time, one, because he was directly on and slightly shielded. However, the best angle for this is behind the goal, which the VAR has multiple access to, those camera angles, and should have seen that Suchek did not use his arm to support his body, but more closer towards blocking the ball and making himself bigger. This should have been a recommendation. I am fairly confident that if the center referee had gotten this recommendation and had seen this angle, that he would have also have given a penalty.
There it is.
She just is the greatest.
So,
isn't she?
And when you see the photo there, it's
you know what it is that Souček is keeping track of where the ball's going with his eyes.
Yeah.
Which I actually hadn't seen that screenshot. Mm-hmm. After seeing that, he's not just bracing his fall. He is bracing his fall, which is a good way to like sort of hide what you're doing. But while you're watching the ball and kind of moving your hand in that direction, leads me to believe the action of falling he used to his advantage to stop the ball. So right. Yeah, that is.
So yeah, it seemed like and what she said there was about the ref just being in a position where he couldn't see it is understandable. So you can understand why the ref didn't call it. But the missed recommendation for VAR to get involved and for a possible penalty seemed pretty clear and obvious to me.
I need to get her number so I can text her about what happened to Arsenal, bro.
Yo.
So you might get this job, bro. They might be getting fired.
But look, it puts Chelsea in another bad spot. They can't get out of they've had three draws in a row. They can't get out of like the rut that they're in. They just need some victories here and there. Who knows what is causing this lack of productivity? They're not really scoring many goals.
We're talking about Chelsea, but we're not talking about the team just below them. Liverpool continue having a bad. They're not doing well, and it's kind of crazy to think Chelsea and Liverpool might be completely out of Europe, or it's looking like they will be.
Liverpool, they just had, I just saw, obviously they're playing Everton in a few minutes, but they...
For those of you listening, you already know what happened.
Right, Thiago Alcantara is injured, so another player out. So Luis Diaz is out. Thiago,
how long is Luis Diaz out for? Do
we
know?
Out for a while. It's already been like three, 4 months. They just I don't think they.
Thiago Jota's out. Mohamed Salah is not. No, Thiago Jota is out. Mohamed Salah.
Jota's been out for a long time too.
I'm looking up Luis Diaz.
They just don't have the team that they normally have had the last couple years.
Yeah, the conversation about whether Klopp's ability to inspire this team to play well, like why isn't the press working? It's like he doesn't have the players right now.
Well, we got a super chat.
Losing Sadio Mane.
We got a super chat from Omar Ramirez. He said,
just Omar Ramirez.
Should refs explain themselves like in the NFL?
100%. To me, specifically.
You got my number.
I think they've talked about doing this
they do this in Australia.
Australia in the A-League. He's like, okay, what I saw here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, where you hear, it's different than hearing the audio of the refs speaking to each other rather than like taking a moment.
Come to the center circle and just explain.
They just did this, I think, in Australia as well, where they explained the call and they said it to everyone in the stadium.
There would be a lot less questions as to what's going on. I feel like in England... And a lot of countries, not just England, but in England in particular, they still play the game by the rules of before technology existed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if we have these things now, if we're able to patch the ref into the speaker system and obviously the networks that are filming it and say, here's XYZ, what happened? The player was falling, but he was bracing his fall. At the very least, we can now say, here's the data, move forward, as opposed to everyone having all these questions about what's going on.
Right.
That's what we should be using the technology we have to our advantage, such as putting the lines down in VAR.
So, I just love the way Omar phrases the question. Should refs explain themselves like in the NFL? Explain yourself, referee. Yeah. Why did you do this?
Obviously, my favorite movie of all time, Pope of Greenwich Village. One of my favorite scenes in that is when they get to the mobster's clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he goes, sit down. And he goes, take your coat off. And he goes, and he puts his like sausage fingers on this guy's shoulders. And he goes, and relax, because we're going to go over this a few times. And I want to hear all the details of what happened on that night. So go ahead. You said you was two of you, not three. And he's like, And the point there being like, you're going to slip up, right? And the guy's got his sausage fingers on. I'm not saying we do that. But what if we got a little bit closer to that?
I also got sausage fingers.
That's the fastest sausage in the game right there. You know, that's going to be on No Context Cooligans. And can I just say, I wasn't talking about my own. Can you at least have that?
Okay. I also saw there was a quote from Cody Gakpo when he was apparently, I think it was Ruud van Nistelrooy, was trying to get him to sign with Manchester United, right? Nistelrooy was at the United, right?
Yeah.
And and you know, he ended up going to Liverpool, which now clearly seems like a mistake, right?
He's pulling a Mudryk.
So weird how things just, I mean, Manchester United, we thought they were going to get relegated at the beginning of the year. Like, right. It was crazy.
I could use a little more of that energy these last few days.
It's quite a turn of events, I think, for Gakpo and his decision. But I think Liverpool will be fine, especially once they get back some of their players.
I think they're not going to be in Europe next year. They're in 10th place now. I don't see them.
I don't see it either.
I don't see them making a rush. Are they in any other competition?
They're still in Champions League, I believe. Yeah,
they are in Champions League. So they could win Champions League, which doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they're not in FA Cup and they're not in Carabao Cup, which if you win Carabao Cup, you get into the conference, right? The Europa Conference.
I don't know. I thought that was FA Cup, but I could be wrong. Anyway. Okay.
No, they're just in Champions League.
Oof.
They get to play Real Madrid next. They get Everton today. If you're listening to this, that was yesterday. Then they get Newcastle, Real Madrid, Crystal Palace, Wolves. That's two wins out of the next five.
So it's going to be a rough stretch, yeah. Speaking of Real Madrid did win the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but the Sounders also played in the Club World Cup, and they lost to Al-Ahly and through just a terrible deflection, just sucked. I mean, there's no other way to put it. But it was cool to see an MLS team involved.
And, you know, I did hear like a lot of analysis from people who typically don't watch our, MLS saying mm-hmm. Sounders look like a very good team compared to Al-Ahly. It sucks.
It's the first game of their season. Yeah, dude, it's just like, I mean, there's no other way to put it.
There's nothing I can do. We can't change. I mean, we can change the calendar, but we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we're going to be playing in negative 30 degrees in Minnesota if we do.
Pete Morton said, ref's explanation, Arthur Shelby paid me a visit. Is that Peaky Blinders?
Michael Raven said, Liverpool are entering a quote-unquote rebuild stage, need to clean up midfield and defense. And by defense, I mean
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah. I mean,
Liverpool don't want to see Mitoma again, that's for sure. This is their thing, though. They buy players that body them. They did it with Minamino. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Minamino.
More like Maximino.
Don't right? Brother, let's not minimize Minamino, bro.
This is the most air horns we've ever had in an episode. Let us know what you think if you've just listened to this and have had to rip your AirPods out multiple times.
Tell me, is it too much air horn?
Yeah.
Am I going too fast?
Yeah. I'm going to say yes for you.
I want to talk about this player right now.
There's a lot of conversation to be had here.
Florian. It's not Florian. I know that.
Florian.
Balogun. I don't know how to pronounce.
Flo Balogun.
But he is the league leading goal scorer.
I don't think it's Florian, bro.
I don't. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right. Florian. Don't know. But it is
Florian. Damn, I've been calling him Florian.
Damn, dog.
Damn, son. Completely. I mean, he English, bro. I can't be the only one. By the way, he's American.
Right. And this is why I want to talk about, because he is currently leading Ligue 1, 15 goals. And then in second place, we got a Canadian in Jonathan David.
Who was one of the potential January transfers for Arsenal.
Right.
So and less goals than a player we already
have. Balogun is an Arsenal player on loan at Reims.
Uh-huh.
But this is...
Reims.
Reims, okay. There he is.
And guess who's also tied for second?
Lacazette, yeah.
Who used to be at Arsenal?
But I want the main thing here is that Balogun is English and American.
Mm.
So he hasn't been capped.
And our friend Jamal constantly reminds me that every time Balogun is mentioned, Americans are, quote, twerking in the comments, trying to get him to sign for America.
So this is to see up. So there's twofold. You know, Mikel Arteta has spoken about him and said that you know, they do have plans.
He keeps getting asked about him because he's on loan, but he's leading the goals. He's leading goals in a league that has Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe in it.
Right, right.
And I've said this before, and I will say it again. The fact that he didn't get recalled in January is frustrating to me because we don't have a backup beyond Eddie.
Right.
So at the very least, now his biggest problem is he's not that much closer to Jesus than he is to Eddie Nketiah. Eddie Nketiah has got the contract extension. He's got the trust of the coach. But the fact that this guy, everyone's talking about he's worth $50 million, why would we sell him when we'd have to pay more than that to get this type of player in? I like having 2 to 3 player depth at each position to create even more pressure in training and more competition. Now, I also don't want to see him sitting behind Eddie Nketiah, but I can promise you this. If he was in the squad at Arsenal today, he might be getting a chance to start over the next 2-3 weeks before Jesus comes in.
Possibly, yeah.
There's an absolute chance. Now, a lot of the goals he scored for Rems haven't been, you know, world beater goals, but he has those in his locker. He scored those. He's a bit more of a poacher, which again, similar to Eddie Nketiah, but the fact that people are even consider selling him so that we could get Declan Rice, bro, we couldn't afford Declan Rice. If we were going to spend $80 million on Mikhailo Mudryk, then we got the money to spend on Rice. And if you want to get Casado at the same time, that's probably going to be another 60. I can see why you want to sell. This kid might be too good to sell. He might have played his way into competition for Eddie Nketiah for backup for Jesus.
I agree. And then also, you know, there's a couple people in the chat. Pete Morton said, Balogun ain't playing for the USMNT if he has two brain cells to rub together. But
look, what? He ain't starting in England.
Yeah, it's not confirmed that, like, yo, he's going to get minutes and get a lot of playing time for England if he chose to play there.
And what is it? Is it Ghana? Is the other country that he gets, that he's qualified for?
I don't know. Somebody, and who was it in the chat? Somebody said that. Oh, Crimson Pizza said it. Google says Folarin is a Yoruba name.
Yeah, it's a Yoruba name.
So Nigerian, mm-hmm. Right? I think he is a player that the U.S. I mean, whatever you got to do. I mean, you got...
He's American, English, French, and Nigerian. He has a shot at probably starting in Nigeria. You ain't got a shot in France. You ain't got a shot in the England squad. I can understand...
I'm not going to say blanket statement. He doesn't have a shot.
To start,
it's...
Does he start for the U.S. at number 9?
Yes.
The moment he says, I want to play for the U.S. men's national team,
you give him
no sporting director, no coach, it don't matter.
Yeah.
You starting at number 9. You are our number 1 at number 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that happening in England? Nah, you got Harry Kane. Maybe Harry Kane goes to the next World Cup as the starter, and that's about it for age range for him. Maybe he's not even the start of the World Cup, but he definitely is during the Euros. So you're going to now miss the Euros. So you're going to have to hope 2026 is your moment. And this gentleman happens to be what, 22? How old is he? He's 21. He's 21 years old. So now you're talking about 23. You're not starting in the World Cup until you're 25 years old, towards the end of your peak. So now you're going to get 2 World Cups max and what, 2 Euros? Where you could have an extra regional competition. Now, look, the Gold Cup may not be the most.
I respect him.
You know, it may not be the most heralded, but wouldn't you rather start at the Gold Cup than come off the bench in the Euros? He could possibly walk. I don't know. Who's Nigeria's starting striker?
Osimhen.
Right, you ain't starting, bro.
You ain't doing all right.
Hey, you ain't doing that in France, my guy, bro. Come to America. Be smart.
Do the right thing.
Listen to Eunice. It's a good time.
You
know what his middle name is?
I don't know.
Folarin Jerry Balogun.
Okay, Gerald.
Not Gerald. Jerry.
Jerry.
The nickname of an English name. Bro, Jerry Balogun, get up in here.
JB.
FJB.
Pretty wild. Okay, so yeah, but he's definitely a player to keep an eye.
If you were an Arsenal fan, would you want to see him come back to the squad?
The if I was an Arsenal fan, no. I mean, look, he's scoring a whole bunch of goals in he's a leading goal scorer in Ligue 1, but also Lacazette, who couldn't find he couldn't find the goalpost last year, has 14.
He's old, and we were asking him to track back and press, which he's like, I ain't got the legs for that.
Right. So the answer, no, it's not an immediate yes. I mean, having the depth, I think, would be helpful. And just having, if Arsenal had different options to throw at people, especially up top, it would be beneficial. This is why if they could have gotten Mudryk, if they could have gotten Caicedo, if they could have gotten, just a different... and I think Trossard was a good get because he just gives Arsenal just something different to throw at teams, especially teams that bunker down and park the bus or whatever. So no, my answer is no. I think especially if Gabriel Jesus comes back and he is what he was in the beginning of the season, I think they'd be I think they'll be fine.
This is going strictly off of FB Ref, which I'm sure you know is Football Reference. They're XGs. I'm just going to say, I'm going to give you two XGs. I'm going to give you the XG, and then I'm going to give you the MPXG plus XAG, which is the non-penalty XG plus assists.
Okay.
Plus expected assists.
All right. Okay. All right. Where the spreadsheets, dork? Go for
it. This is some real dork. Some real dork stuff. Now, my boy, Jerry, his XG is... let me give you Eddie Nketiah's. Eddie Nketiah's XG, this is again going off 7 games, and for Fellaini, it's going off of 19 starts. So 7 starts versus 19 starts, okay?
Okay.
Obviously, Eddie Nketiah's come into the matches a little bit more, but he's had 19 matches played. Balogun has had 22. So there's a bit of a difference there, but XG takes all that into account.
All right.
So Eddie Nketiah's XG is 5.6.
Mm-hmm.
Balogun, what do you think his is?
Balogun's... what'd you say was the first?
5.6.
Oh, then with 15 goals, he has to be higher. So let's say 7.4.
14.6. So what I would also say is...
I was close.
Yeah, you weren't far. He also has more goals than XG.
Mm-hmm.
Which generally means he's fighting the back of the net even when he's not supposed to, at least once.
Right.
Now, non-penalty XG versus a plus goal assists. Balogun and Kenzie is 5.9, so he's had a couple assists. Balogun is 13. So even non-penalty goals, he is almost 3xing, in this case, more than 2xing.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Nketiah's output. At the very least, that alone tells me, yo, we should be considering this dude to play him. Just even if you're just looking at the metrics of the stats.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I think it's fair. I mean, look, there's a couple good points in the chat. Some people are basically saying like, if we were a Champions League club, we would need him. After playing in Europa League,
will be
helpful.
XP, how many pizzas can I eat?
But I like Michael Raymond says, he said, I'm gonna start violence. Lead goal scorer in a farmers league.
He's still the lead scorer.
I mean,
don't you have to like give somebody credit for beating Neymar, Mbappe, and Messi?
Something? Yeah. So we can't diminish it completely. But you know what makes Balogun's scoring record right now look bad is Lacazette with one goal behind him. That makes Balogun look less impressive.
I disagree, and the reason I disagree is because they're not asking him to do. They're not asking Lacazette to do more than just go up there and be a striker. And he was good at that.
But it does highlight the Premier League is different. The Premier League is the Premier League, and it is difficult to do to get 15 goals in the Premier League. And look, we even saw Erling Haaland completely dominating in the beginning of the year, and he's kind of been figured out. He has not really done much. He's barely getting touches on the ball. He's not getting any great opportunities. You know, he got an assist in the game the other day, but he's just not. It did what we thought was going to happen, where he was going to get 70 goals in the Premier League this season. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. And it just shows that the quality and the level is just so high that even if you are very, very good, it's almost impossible to do that at a consistent basis. So, yeah. So, I think it is a factor, the fact that he's doing it in France. And I think it gives me more optimism as a USMNT fan than if I was an Arsenal fan.
Right. I mean, look, at the end of the day, if I'm going to pick one stat, if you don't trust XG, can we at least consider goals per 90? Eddie Nketiah is at 0.46. And again, I think Eddie Nketiah is a very good player, and I'm happy he's in the team. But Balogun's is 0.8. That's almost double. And at some point, you just have to consider the fact that we have to give this kid a chance. Does that mean maybe you miss out on a $50 million sale? Yeah. But hey, we've made some good sales, right? Mm. How much did we sell you a Wobi for? Whatever that number is, that's money in a bank that we didn't deserve.
Yeah, it's good, right? Business. Good business on all parts. We love him.
Willock was $30 million in Newcastle, bro.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The only other person I was thinking to just talk about, we got to wrap up the show, but
our friend.
What friend?
Ben Foster, the homie.
Oh yeah, I was gonna skip this, but this is an interesting thing. Apparently,
Lloris is injured.
Lloris is injured, and then Betancourt at Tottenham has tore his ACL.
Oh really?
Or MCL?
I didn't know.
He's hurt. Tottenham are going to struggle a little bit more. But this is interesting that this was a report here from the Daily Mail. I don't know. Take it for whatever is worth to you. That they're trying to lure him, Ben Foster, out of retirement to play for Tottenham
for the rest of the season.
Just for the rest of the season. It's interesting because
it's good YouTube content.
Isn't he a Gooner?
I believe he is.
Because he wears Arsenal shirts almost all the time.
Yeah, he's pretty open about it now that he's not in the Premier League anymore.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, bringing it like...
Oh, you know what to do, bro.
Sabotage.
Get in there and just... Oh, is that supposed to stop that? Oh, another one.
My man is just pulling wires everywhere. Like, oh, no, that's not what we meant exactly, but we appreciate all your effort.
Somebody poured water on our servers.
We met Ben Foster in Philadelphia when we were emceeing the Premier League Fan Fest, and the homie, Matt, cool, really great dude.
Sweetheart.
Love talking to him. I'm hoping we could collab one day.
Him and his co-host, great guys.
Yeah. Great dude. So, so I wish him the best. I don't know if he's, I believe, like... Isn't his podcast like exclusively on Spotify? I think he got the bag.
No, he...
He's doing all right. I don't know if he needs...
His YouTube channel, Cycling Goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's doing all right. I don't know if he needs to come back, but...
Should we play a clip of his show? Play a clip of our show.
Ben Foster's great. So the last person I really wanted to talk about is Marcus Rashford because he scored again.
Hold on real quick. I just want to read what Sean 613 said. He said, as an Arsenal fan, sounds like a great bit of buzz. Oh, biz for Spurs. Right. I thought Boz was like another term. Like, so somebody once told me, like, you're really spunking the Dodge. And I'm like, you better not say that. And I didn't realize that meant spending money. Well, you better watch the tone with me, my friend.
Okay. Marcus Rashford scored again against Leeds the other day. Leeds drew to match it. They had a back-to-back because one of the games was obviously postponed and whatever. It was rescheduled and they happened to play each other in back-to-back matches. So they played on Wednesday and they played on Sunday. Leeds drew 2-2 at Old Trafford, and then Manchester United won 2-0, I believe, right? At Elland Road. And a couple of quick things, you know, everybody was highlighting Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie and their crunching tackles.
Bro, McKennie, he a goon, bro.
Yeah, he came in. Look, he's already out there, you know, in his first matches, pushing people.
I love
getting
it.
getting into scraps.
Show him that Texas.
But it's still a real concern for Leeds. They look... really poor. They have really no ideas. They can't score goals. And I feel bad. You know, Jack Harrison, also the homie, can't. And it's not anybody's fault in particular. I just think this team has gone through just a few too many changes, losing some players. Rodrigo getting injured. I mentioned this last week, but they don't have any real ideas. And maybe in the playing style, the second goal that they gave up was a what was it? The McKennie lost the ball, and then I think Garnacho ended up scoring.
They also don't have any creativity in the midfield when Brendan Aaronson isn't in. But I have a feeling Brendan Aaronson isn't.
He didn't start.
No, he didn't start. But when he came in, they looked better.
They looked a little bit better. But
they're able to make some creative passes.
The same thing happened that we've been talking about with Paxton, with Brendan. Brendan Aaronson came into the game, bro. Got the ball, and I don't know. I think it was Fred just completely bodies him off the ball. Like, it's a joke. I mean, I can't highlight this anymore. Brendan Aaronson should not be, at least at the moment, unless he like just puts on some weight or whatever, he should not be dueling anybody for a ball. But that is part of his game, like sort of shielding the ball. He's very good at that. But I think the level of physicality in the Premier League is a little bit different than MLS. And it's getting to a point where it's like, it's a little embarrassing where he's physically getting dominated and just the ball's being taken away from him.
He got to get his weight up at the gym, bro.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I want them, because obviously I want all the Americans there to succeed.
And McKennie, tell him what you're doing, yeah. Cuz McKennie,
Tyler Adams looks like 100% ready.
That's a Premier League player.
That's a Premier League player.
Weston McKennie, a Premier League player. No questions asked.
I wouldn't say. I would ask some questions. As of right now, from what I've seen.
What questions would you ask?
Just some of the decision making that he, look, his let's mistake, forget, his mistake is, led to the goal.
Let's not forget that he is new in a system with new coaches.
Right. So and I'm asking some questions.
Have you seen the way Leeds plays? It's absolute mayhem.
Well, that's why towards the end of the game,
it's like you got your finger on the turbo button. They're all over the place.
Towards the end of the game, they're playing with a lot of heart, a lot of energy, but that doesn't seem to be, I don't see the plan. That's my problem with Leeds as a whole.
The problem is they have a plan, but it's to do more of what looks like there is no plan. It looks like when one player sprints forward to cover, someone else takes a space, someone else takes that. So it's, you know, that game where you had the squares and there was one missing and you had to keep moving it around until you made the image? That's Leeds. They're just constantly swapping spots.
Yeah.
So it's like, you never know who you're passing to. There's times where they pass and there's just no one there.
Well, there was a couple times McKennie made some overlapping runs. No one passed the ball to him.
This is what I'm saying. Like, there needs to be a bit more structure than what they already do.
Yeah, the left winger, Noto. There's an N. There's two N's in his name.
I think you're making that up.
Of course. That's the thing I do. Gnonto.
There it is.
Nonto. He seems to be their biggest scoring threat, but I think he makes the team worse. I think some of the decisions he makes are not great. He gets the ball a lot. He has a lot of possession. And look, Patrick Bamford is not the same Patrick Bamford after coming back from his injury. But
that's going to take a while. But if you're half Cuban, half Puerto Rican coach, you need to.
Who was not the first game? Armas was in the technical area. The second game, he was not.
No, but I think that's the plan. They have three.
That's the plan. Just have no plan. Everybody.
No, their plan is they have three technically.
I've heard they're looking for. The rumor is there's a Dutch coach that might be coming in. He might be coming from Ajax or somewhere else or whatever.
I mean, hopefully that comes in soon, because they clearly need to just be settled. But
I just want to take this time real quick to just highlight Marcus Rashford, because Marcus Rashford is, I think, the best player in the Premier League right now. He has been remarkable.
And he's been incredible.
He's just everywhere.
I'm not ready to say he's the best player in the Premier League, but I am ready to say this, which is during Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign, his stock fell pretty steeply.
For real.
And there was a moment in my Arsenal group chat, and again, it's all dudes from North London, when they were saying, hey, what player would you take from from Manchester United if they became available. A lot of names going back and forth. No one picked Rashford. And I said, bro, I'd take Rashford in a minute. And they say, nah, he's washed. And I'm like, bro, this kid showed us too much for me to think he's washed. To me, it was very clear that this was an issue of him not being put in the right position. And also, he looked bad. When I kept saying Ronaldo is taking the shine from other players because people are forcing the ball to Ronaldo, not the players making good runs, and it's stopping Bruno Fernandes from being so effective because he would get himself into spaces, and instead of taking a shot he normally took and scored, he would be passing it to Ronaldo, and people called me crazy, even in an Arsenal group chat. And now you're seeing, without Cristiano Ronaldo, this man, first of all, I also want to give him credit for, during the World Cup, instead of him taking an elongated break, he went to Portland. He went to, or at least Oregon, and he worked at the Nike LeBron James facility. Did you know this?
No. Well, he was hurt, right? What?
He wasn't hurt, but he went to the LeBron James facility to get...
After the World Cup?
This is after the World Cup, okay. In that gap. When England got out of the World Cup,
he went.
He went there, and instead of taking that little bit of a vacation or a holiday, as they call it, he went to them, and they started working with the statisticians and the crazy computer team there that monitored everything about him, and they found that he was running in an incorrect pattern. There was something about his run that he could cut 0.8. Out of 0.08 out of his run. And there was something about his, and they found that he was getting too many massages on his muscles. That the...
Babe, it's just, I'm sorry, it's the 14th massage.
Right. I'm not Robert Kraft, I'm just saying. No, but
You start to, send some red flags.
They said that his muscles were releasing too much of the, what's that acid that your muscles release?
You got me.
When you're getting massaged? Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what acid is released when you get a massage.
It's the thing that makes you feel good when you're getting your muscles rubbed. That kind of helped. But in other words, his muscles weren't learning how to cure the strain that's put on them because it was being massaged out. So his muscles were growing in an odd way. Lactic acid. Thank you, Ben Skolnick. The lactic acid was being released too quickly that the muscles... Basically, you want to break the tissue in your muscles, and then you want it to grow according. So if you're doing, if you're lifting heavy weights, your muscles will grow out. If you're doing things like Pilates, your muscles will grow long. For his run, his muscles weren't continuing to grow the way they're supposed to because he was massaging out those things. They basically gave him a complete rundown. He did that on his own money, on his own accord.
He went out
there to learn to become a better player. And look what has happened.
LeBron is like, he invests $1 million a year or something, or it might be even more now, on his body, and which is why it's led to the longevity of his career. I like this from Ken M in the chat. He says, Rashford is great, and I appreciate his work ethic and commitment to Manchester United. Glad they did not kick him to the curb during the Cristiano days. And that's what the question I was going to ask. Doesn't it feel a little bit like Cristiano Ronaldo stole 2 years of this man's career?
Yes and no, but I don't think you get this year if it wasn't for that. I don't think you get him saying
that adversity.
He probably doesn't go to the Nike institution, to the LeBron James.
Okay.
He probably doesn't do those things where he's like, I need to get my career back on track, because he was a bit of a, even though he was level headed and he does really cool things for society, feeding poor kids, all planting all those trees and all that stuff. I still think you get the bit of a, I'm a great player and I'm coasting. I don't think you get that. The adversity, as you said, and the opportunity to feel like he needs to prove something, he's absolutely doing it. But the one thing I do want to knock him for, he didn't invent that.
Oh, he didn't invent the celebration?
No.
Boom, this one?
The touching your temple, bro.
Who invented it?
There's other people that have done it. There was a guy in Germany, I believe at Wolfsburg, who did it first.
Okay. There was an American kid. There's an American kid that in the U17... match did the same thing as well. Look, he's inspiring the youths. All right.
So look, we talked a little bit about lactic acid. Our chat has contributed. Ben Skolnick said Christian's muscles release soiling acid.
Let's go.
And Justin Freeberg, who used to be our friend, said Alexis's muscles release pizza sauce acid. You're going to say pizza acid. Ruben Neves at Wolves used to do that as well. He also was the first in the Premier League to do that. I mean,
has Rashford said specifically what it means or anything? I haven't heard any comment about why he started doing it.
No, I think it was like, I think at first it was like a sort of a clap back to the people that were saying negative things about him.
I mean, that's what everybody does. I mean, that's almost, literally almost every player.
Ken M says Triple H did it for a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't even know he played soccer, dude. That's crazy.
What does Triple H stand for?
Hold on. Herbert.
Okay, yeah.
Herbert.
Close.
Herbert Humphrey Harold.
No, you're incorrect.
Oh, what is it? Does it mean like heat, hot, something like that? Is no. it like one of those things?
I think it's from his original name, if I'm not mistaken, but it's Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Little wrestling trivia for you. You're welcome, everybody.
Was his original character like a boarding school boy?
They, you know, how wrestlers change their characters and personas. Everybody goes through. They try out different characters, and then he landed at Triple H, and it worked out pretty well. Okay. Oh,
yeah, someone wrote it. Ken M says Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Let's go.
What was his character? He seems very regal. Was he British?
No. I don't remember. Because he really became popular as Triple H. Maybe. Was he with Ted DiBiase and like the Million Dollar Man? Remember? I think he was like in that crew.
Was that the dude who had the dollar sign belt?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Because a kid in my school had a fake one of those.
Oh, wow. Why not the real one?
Yeah.
In Newark. That,
yeah. Bring it out, bro. I'm sure you'll be just fine on the bus.
Sean 613 said, Rashford praise to WWE trivia. Look, I tell you, this show can go anywhere.
Right? I don't know anything about WWE, except I believed that Razor Ramon was Cuban. And then I found out he was like an Irish guy or something.
He gotcha.
R.I.P. Didn't he pass away
he
recently?
He passed away. Scott Hall.
Damn.
Okay.
Oh, CBR Flair, which I'm assuming means Ric Flair, if he knows wrestling this well. He said his character was a rich dude from Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're pretty close. Boarding yeah. school.
Okay. All right. We could write some characters on there. All right. Let's wrap up. We've been going on for a while. We'll be back tomorrow, obviously, with another hot show focusing on all things American soccer.
You know it. You love it.
Just crushing it per usual. We, as always, join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. You can get access to our Gully Squad Slack channel if you want to hang out with the dopest people in soccer/football. That's the place to do it. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on all socials, on Instagram, TikTok. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. If you haven't yet, you'd be crazy. Ben Skolnik said, hit that turbo finger. You know you got to do it. Bro.
Wow.
Happy.
I've known this man for 7 years. I didn't know he had that in him, bro.
A tu orden, okay?
Okay.
Whatever you need, everybody.
Bro.
Seriously, y'all are the absolute best. We will see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time, live on YouTube. And the podcast will be available as it always is. Tell your friends about the show. A lot more fun stuff coming down the pipeline.
And shouts to Football Ramble.
That's right.
Make sure you check them out.
All right, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.